We begin the current daven Masechet Shabbos of Pei Aleph. We begin on the top of the line and begin a new Mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of our parak regarding the Shir of Eitzah, the measurements, the minimum amount of measurements for different items, what's considered that it's significant, that it's considered that you're transporting this item, because if it's insignificance, like you're not carrying anything, so what is the minimum measurements of different items? So our Mishnah begins with Etzem, regarding the measurement of transporting bone on Shabbos. Kedelas is tarbet, the amount to make a spoon out of it. People make spoons out of bone. That's the smallest amount of bone that you would be chayv on if you could make a spoon out of it. Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Kedelas is menu chaf, the amount to make a lock out of it. And now the Gemara thinks it means the actual lock itself, which is a much larger shear than making a spoon. Then the Mishnah continues, Zechuchas, regarding the minimum measurement for glass, is Kedeligrabar, Roisha Karkar, the amount to scrape the head of the weaver's pick. And that is that the weavers used to have this this piece of wood that they would be very sharp, the point. So you need glass to scrape it and to sharpen it. That amount of glass that could be used to sharpen the head of the weaver's pick is enough to be chayav for a tzah on Shabbos. Tzroi or Evan, regarding a pebble or a stone, is the amount kedei lizrik ba'ayv that could be thrown at a bird. To throw at an animal. And the reason why he says it's enough to throw at an animal, because a person's not going to go through the difficulty of throwing a pebble or a rock at a bird to scare it away, because you could just scream and go, ha, and it's going to run away. So therefore, it's only a larger stone or pebble which can be used for an animal that would be chai for the shir and sub, but smaller than that, a person would not use for a bird, according to Elazar ben Yaakov, and therefore he won't be liable for that shir b'itzah. Now the Gemara goes back to the first item that we said in our Mishnah regarding bone. The Gemara says, "Lememad ishud Rabbi Yehuda nafish." It sounds like that the measurement of Rabbi Yehuda is larger because a lock is much larger than a spoon, and therefore requires more bone. So it sounds like he has a larger share, more lenient. However, the Gemara asks, as we said in the previous stuff, "Hakaimel and ishud Rabbanan nafish." We already said that the share of the Rabbanan, in contrast to the pin Rabbi Yehuda, is much larger. Like we said regarding the tloy, regarding a gemi, the we said that it's for the amount of making this hook that you could suspend the sifter and the sieve on. And Rabbi Yehuda said, even a smaller amount. That's the amount that they take for the measurement for the child's foot. When you go to the shoemaker, they say, I need this size shoe. So therefore, we said that Rabbi Yehuda is more machmer, the hilchas of Shabbos of Eitzah, like we see over there. And yet here, regarding bone, it sounds like he's more makel, he's more lenient, because he gives a larger shear, and that less than that, the size of the tanakama of making a spoon, he would hold that you're potter. Amar Ula says that we don't mean that Rabbi Yehuda says the amount to make a lock itself. Rather means chafei poisachas. It means the teeth of the lock. That is, inside the hole of the lock, there are these different teeth, so to speak, not the lock itself. And that those teeth of the lock they would make out of bone, that is the amount that would be chayav for tzah. That's smaller than the measurement of a spoon. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, again, according to his opinion on the halachas of Eitzah and Shabbos, is the more machmer de geshita, which is the smaller share of the teeth of the lock and not the larger share of the spoon itself. Now, on this theme of the teeth of the lock, turn about and learn the Braisa. Chafi Pesach is tahar, and the teeth of a lock are tahar. That is, as long as it wasn't attached to the lock, it's not fit for anything, these different pieces, these teeth, and therefore it's tahar. Coven, but Pesach is tamein, but once you already attach it to the lock, then it's going to be mekabel tamo. Because kli etzem, a bone kli, which that's what we're considering these teeth of the lock, have the same halacha like a metal kli. And therefore, they're pshutein, which things that they don't have any hollow. They're flat, are makabel tumma, just like metal are, as the Gemara Chulin HaKol Sheikhtin says. And from the fact that it's attached to the lock itself, and that we know that whatever is attached to something that's tar is tar, and therefore here when you're attaching it to the lock, which is something that's tar, it should be tar. So it's not true because the lock, although it's made out of wood, however, it has a base kibble. It has a hollowed area. That's not pshutikli, it's not flat. And therefore, although you're attaching these bone teeth inside the lock, which is made out of wood, and therefore since it's flat and it's mechubit to something that's flat, it should be tar. It's not flat because it has a hole to put in the key of the lock, and therefore although it's made out of wood, a wood cleave that has a hollow is mekabel tumah. So therefore, although you're attaching the teeth of the lock to it, it's attached to something that is mekabel tumah, and therefore the teeth itself are mekabel tumah. However, the shalgal regarding the teeth of the lock of a gate, ava pisha chibra medela, so then even if you attached it to the gate, to the door, if you covered it with and you attached it, you secured it with nails, turn it's still tar. And what's the reason? Because whatever is attached to the ground has the same halachic status as the ground. And that is, since here the door is the teeth of the lock are attached to the lock, which are attached to the door, and the door is attached to the ground. So therefore, they all ultimately have the same halachic status as the ground, and therefore it's going to be tar. However, regarding the teeth itself, when we set up a regular lock, then we said again, if it's not attached, it's tahar, because what is it? It's just these different small pieces. Whereas when it's attached to the lock, then it already has purpose, and then it's going to be mekabel tum. Mishnah said regarding zchuchas, regarding glass, we said, could it ligrub, it's the amount to be able to scrape the head of the weaver's pick. So the Gemara brings from a b'raisa tana, zchuchas, regarding glass, and here it's interesting that it says it with a samach, and the Mishnah said it with a zayin, so Rashi explains, because the terminology of zchuchas with a samach is from the word of seichen, that you could see. And that's what you make a mirror out of glass, that you could see through it, and then you could see in it. And when it's called zchuchas with a zayin, is that it's the word zaka, that it's clear. That's called zchuchas, that's when it's not a mirror, that you could see through it, it's clear. So zchuchas is that it's when it's a mirror, and zchuchas is when it's a glass, not a mirror, that you can see through it. So when it's zchuchas, when it's a mirror, when we have it talking about a piece of glass, the Braise says, it's the amount to cut two warp threads as one together. That would be the shear, the required amount of this zchuchas. Again, regular glass is amount to scrape the head of the weaver's pick. When it's zchuchas, when it's a mirror, then it's the amount to cut two warp threads as one. So the Mishnah said, Tzroyer Evan, regarding the shear of this pebble or of a stone. So the Mishnah said from the Tanakama, could Elizik if the amount to throw at a bird. Rebeleza says the amount to throw at an animal. So the Gemara qualifies this statement that we say when you're throwing at an animal or a bird, Om Reb Yaakov, Reb Yechanan, Behushema Geshespa. This is only if the animal feels it. That is, when you throw the pebble at it, it's going to feel it and it's going to, you know, jerk and see what happened. The Kamashir, and what is the measurement that an animal is going to feel the pebble that you're throwing it to chase it away? Tanya, Belezman Yaakov, Ayman, Mishkal, Sarazov, it's the weight of 10 zuz. That's the amount that it's heavy enough that you're going to throw it, it's going to feel it, it's going to run away. That's the amount that's considered significant for Hitzah and Shabbos. Now the Gemara talks about the halachas of other stones, once we're discussing stones of Hitzah and Shabbos. Zunan, that was his name, Allah Bei Medrash, he came into the Beis HaMedrash. Amalu Rabbois, he says, my teachers, Avanim Shal Beis HaKisa, regarding the stones of the lavatory of the bathroom, Shiurin Bekama, what are their measurements? And that's both regarding to be chayiv for hitzav, transporting them on Shabbos, because they're considered significant, because these are the stones that you use for the purposes of going to the bathroom. Or also we're talking about carrying them in the yard to bring them into the bathroom. Either way, they're the same shear that we're talking about something that it's fit to use them, that you're going to be chayiv for the hitzav, because that's the way you usually use it. What are these size measurements of the stones? Again, to be considered that you could use it for the bathroom on Shabbos, that there's no isser of being metal to them, that they're muktzah on Shabbos. And also regarding the shear of itzah, not that it'd be considered significant. So amaloi kezayis. So they told him there's three different sizes that you use for the bathroom. And the three sizes are, the first one is the size of an olive, the second one is the shear of keegas of a nut, and the third one, kebay, is the shear of an egg. And that is because they were taking three different size stones into the bathroom when they would use to wipe themselves. And they would wipe one size after the other. The first one would be the size of an olive, the second one the size of a nut, the third one the size of an egg. And that is when they would first wipe themselves in the rear, they would first take the small one to take away the waste that's stuck over there. Because if you would take a larger stone first, it would mush it all around, it would get all dirty around. So first you take a smaller one, then a larger one, then the largest one. That's the most proper way of utilizing the stones in the way of wiping oneself from the waste in the bathroom. So he said that you're telling me that these are the shiurim? Amalahu v'chi turtin yachnes, what a person has to take a scale into the bathroom to start measuring that, oh, okay, this is the size of an olive, the size of a nut, the size of an egg, to know what I can use on Shabbos, or what's considered itzah on Shabbos. So therefore the Gemara says, Nimnu v'gamru molahayat. So they went and they sat down, they came to the conclusion that it's the size of a handful, meaning amongst all the three stones that you take into the bathroom, or even four or five, the amount that fits into a handful, that's the amount that's going to be considered that you can use for the bathroom. And similarly, that's going to be the amount that now that you can use it for the bathroom, that's considered a significant amount of rocks that you chayv for it saw in Shabbos. So similar to this, we learned, Tanya learned in the Braisa, Rabbi says the shear for itzah on Shabbos and the amount of the stones that you could use on Shabbos for the bathroom are the olive, the nut, and the egg. He said in the name of his father, Maloihar, as the way that we said in the previous story that they concluded, it's the amount of a handful. That's the shear, again, that can be used for the bathroom, that there's no problem of muktzah on the stones. For kavod habris, we allow it. And also now, ultimately, that's going to be the shear of itzah on Shabbos. So related to this topic, the Gemara says, Tarabon, we're the Braisa. Gimel avon mekuzolis mutar lahachnas lebeis hakisa. A person is allowed to take into the bathroom three sharp-sided stones when he goes to the bathroom. And the reason why it's sharp is that now it can be fit as a point that you could use for wiping by the cavity in the rear. And that we said that you're allowed to put it in, you're allowed to go ahead and use them on Shabbos. That's within four amos, or in the yard where there's no problem of carrying. But the thing is that we said that there's no isser of muktzah on these stones, although regularly stones is isser of muktzah on Shabbos. For the purpose of going to the bathroom on Shabbos, we allowed it. The kamashir, and what are the sizes of these three sharp-sided stones? Remei mekeges, Remei says the size of a nut. Yudah mekebe, Yudah says the size of an egg. And that each stone has that size. So Amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chizda, regarding this machlekes, if it's an egg or a nut, kamachlekes kan, kamachlekes bastrik, just like they argue over here regarding the size of the three stones, if you're using it on the bathroom on Shabbos, that there's no problem of muktzah on the stones, it's the same machlekes they had regarding the size of what the minimum amount of an estrik has to be, either the size of a nut or the size of an egg. So the Gemara asks, what are you saying? Hasa masnitin, there, the machlokes they have regarding an estrik is a Mishnah, Masechta Sukkah. Everybody knows that Mishnah. Hacha Braisa, here it's a Braisa, and a lot of students, they never learned these Braisa. They don't know all the Braisa, they know all the Mishnayis. So why are you saying, you're saying that this that we know that machlokes are going to the bathroom is the same as that machlokes? You're being titled something that we don't know and something that we do know. You should be saying that just like it says over there, it says over here. As the Gemara concludes, rather, the proper way of saying it is, just like that machlekes by Esther, he never knows that machlekes, because that's a Mishnah, so too, they have the same machlekes over here regarding going to the bathroom, and he said it as a simon, as a mnemonic, just to remember that they shouldn't forget their learning of the Braisa, and that if you forget, you can remember that it's really the same machlekes they have from the Mishnah regarding Esther. So Amar Yehuda Ruda says, this that we allowed a person to take these stones, these rocks, these pebbles into the bathroom on Shabbos, avaloyas ha-pa'ayis, but a person is not allowed to take these clumps of earth on Shabbos to use to wipe himself in the bathroom. And since they crumble, it's not fit for wiping, and therefore it has the same isser of tilt of muktzah, like all these different types of things of earth and rocks on Shabbos. So you can ask, my pious, what is exactly this pious? Amrib Zeira, Karshini Bavliyasa. It's these pebbles of the Babylonian earth. And this is what it was called, because since Babylon was a very moist earth, and when they would plow, it would bring up these different clumps. So that's what it was called. It was called these pebbles of Bavel, but it was really these clumps of earth that you can't use them, although it's hard, but it's not really like a rock, and it's going to crumble. So it's not fit for using to wipe anyway, so therefore it has the din of mukt. Now, related to this, Amar Rava, also lemashmish b'tzrei b'shabbos, kederech shememashmish b'chol, person is not allowed to manipulate a pebble by the rear cavity on Shabbos, when he's going to wipe himself in the rear on Shabbos, the way he does in the weekday. And that is someone that has to go to the bathroom, he has to relieve himself. But he can't. So the Gemara says later on, what he does is he manipulates a small little stone over there, and that opens up the cavity. Now the Gemara thinks that when we said, but on Shabbos you're not allowed to do that, it meant totally you're not allowed to do that at all, like you do it during the weekday. So the Gemara asks, Masiv lemazutra l'stakin, so the person should be in danger. It says in Masechtas Tamid that something that a discharge that a person has to make from the rear, that it comes back in, it brings a person to Tadrakin, which is a very dangerous disease. So why can't you manipulate? It's going to be dangerous for the person. And you're saying you can't manipulate on Shabbos, a person might come to this sakana. So the Gemara says, no, you could manipulate on Shabbos, but only kalachar yad in an indirect way. In other words, this that we said, that kederach, that you do it on the weekday, you can't do it on Shabbos, meant the exact way you do it during the weekday, without a shinoi. And the reason for that is because you're going to be ripping out the different hairs that a person has over there. But if a person does it kalachiyah, in an indirect way, for example, if he holds the rock between his two fingers, then he's allowed to, because that's going to be done in the kalachiyah, in an indirect way, and then he can do it. We only meant the exact way you're doing during the weekday, and now you're going to be ripping out the hairs, that's asr. But in an indirect way, you won't come to sakana. That way you could do it to manipulate, to be allow yourself to relieve yourself. So Amar Bianai, im yesh makum kavua lebeis hakiseh, if there's a designated spot that this is the bathroom, this is where everyone goes to relieve themselves, then you're allowed to take into the bathroom, maloi hayad, a handful of these stones on Shabbos, because even if it's left over from night, you'll be able to wipe yourself with them in the morning, so you could take in a whole handful. It's not considered excessive that it would be a problem of carrying too much, that they should be considered muktzah. However, imlav, but if not, it's only a temporary, it's not a place where they always go to the bathroom, it's a one-time deal, then kehercha, then you could take them out the amount of the compromise, which means to say that we've had the amount of a nut, which is more than the size of the olive, but it's less than the size of the egg. Those are the three different stones that we had. The middle one is the size that you could take out, but not more than that, because it's only a one-time thing and it's going to be considered excessive and therefore unnecessary, and consequently we'll have a halacha of muktzah because they're not necessary to be used for the purpose of the bathroom. So the Gemara says, Meducha ketana shel besam, regarding the pestle that's used for a mortar, of a small mortar that's used for besam and for spice, when they would grind the spice in this mortar, so they would have this small little pestle that it's a malacha that's klicha malachta le'issa, that's used for something forbidden on Shabbos, and therefore generally it has the isra muktza on it. However, Amar Rav Sheshes, im yeshala eid mutter, if there's testimony on this pestle, which literally means that it's dirty, it's testifying on itself that it's made for wiping oneself, because the pestle had that shape that you could use as wiping oneself. So therefore, although it's generally muktzah because it's used for something that's usher, which is for grinding on Shabbos, but since you could tell that it's dirty, that it's people use it to wipe themselves, then it's not muktzah anymore, and you could use it for wiping. That the Gemara asked, Mesef, you learned, Asar dvar mevinis adam l'dit tachtonis. There are 10 things to bring a person to hemorrhoids. Ve'eluhem, ha'oichel ali kanam, someone that eats the leaves of reeds, va'ali gefanim, and the leaves of grapevines, v'lulavi gefanim, and the shoots of grapevines, u'meriga behema b'lei melach, and the ridged portions of an animal without salt, and that is any part of the meat in an animal that's made very jagged. For example, like the layer of the tongue, it's very jagged, or the base hakoyis, other different parts in the animal. If you eat that without salt, that also could cause a person to hemorrhoids. The shedra shel dag and the spine of a fish, the dag malich shel yibishal katzarkai, and a salted fish that wasn't totally cooked, it's not totally well done. The hashayis shimri yain, and someone that drinks the lees of wine, those are the pieces, the sediments. The mekanech besid ubecharasis, and someone that wipes himself with lime and the shards of pottery. And bitzroir shekinech becheveri, and with a pebble that his friend wiped himself, that these are things that are going to bring a person, if he does these things, to hemorrhoids. And the Yeshem, an 11th Adam, some say, even someone that holds himself up, that he doesn't actually sit on the toilet seat, he just holds himself up and he goes to the bathroom, that could also cause a person to hemorrhoids, which is when the flesh inside comes out. By doing that, it creates pressure, it could also cause hemorrhoids. But anyway, what we see from here is that if a person wipes himself with something that his friend wiped himself in, then that's not fit for wiping, because it could cause to hemorrhoids. And yet Rav Sheshes said that if there's testimony on this pestle that you see that someone had already used this for wiping himself, that that's going to be considered something that you could wipe with, but it's not true. It's something improper to use because it could cause hemorrhoids. And this Gemara gives three terutzim to be mechalik. Loikash, it's not difficult from there. Habalach, habayavish, that one is talking about that it's moist and one's talking about that it's already dried up. When it's moist, that's not fit for use because wet waste from the previous person, that's going to cause a person to hemorrhage. When it's dried up already, it's not a problem. And that was the case that we're talking about, that if there's testimony on the pestle that you could see that it has dried up waste on it, that you could use. That's one teretz. The by same or second teretz, you could say, is kamitzat echad, becoming based on them. That here we're talking about that only one side has waste that he sees that his friend had used it. So there, it's fit to use because it's only that side you can't wipe with. But the second side, you could wipe with. When we said over there, cause hemorrhoids, when on both sides it has this waste, so therefore inevitably you're going to be wiping yourself with the previous person's waste, so therefore that would cause hemorrhoids. V'ibay samor, third teretz is, hadidei hadachavri, that when it's his own waste, that he can wipe with. And that we're talking about, that if he once wiped with this pestle, now he can go ahead and wipe himself with it again. When did we say that one of the things that causes hemorrhoids is by using something that already has waste? And that's talking about his friends, not his. That would cause hemorrhoids, but his own, that's not a problem. So those are the three different terutzim to be mechalik. Again, here, either that we're talking about that it's dry, or talking about the waste is only on one side, or we're talking about that it's his, and therefore those three cases would not cause him to have hemorrhoids from using it. And therefore, if it has this aid, this testimony that it's still dirty, so it can be used, it's not considered muktzah. However, Amar Leah Baalei Rav Yosef, Yardu Le Gesham. So this pestle, if let's say it rained and it was left outside, v'nitshtashdeshu, and now it got smeared all over. In other words, this testimony on the pestle that showed that it was used to wipe, it got smeared away. Ma, what's the halacha? Does that annul this yichud that it was used, that is designated for wiping oneself, or not? In other words, we know that it was used for wiping, but now it got rained on, so now it's almost like cleaned up. So maybe now it's back to its regular use of using as a pestle and not to use to wipe anymore. So what's the halacha? So Amalei says it depends. if the mark is still discernible, that is, you could tell that this was used to wipe oneself, then it's still mutter, because since it's disgusting, no one's going to go ahead and use it now to grind the spices. So therefore, it has not been annulled from using for the lavatory, and you can still use it for the bathroom, it's not considered mukta. But if it's totally got washed away, it was cleaned up, so then, yes, it's going to be go back. People would use it for the purpose of crushing besom, and therefore it would be considered mukta, and it's not used for the bathroom anymore. So now on this topic, the Gemara brings that Boyimine Rabbi Bar Shila, that Rabbi Bar Shila asked, we continue on Talmud Beis, Mirav Chizda, the following question. We said that there's this heter of taking these items, the stones, to the bathroom. It's not considered muktzah because it's necessary to wipe oneself with it. So the question was, Ma'ula loisim achav legag. What's halacha? Could he also take it up to the roof? And that is, if he's going to relieve himself up on the roof, are we concerned that it's a tircha yisirasa, like it's an extra amount of toil and difficulty that we did not allow, although we allowed this for muktzah, we only allowed it something that's convenient, or even up to the roof that we said that's muktzah. So when they said to him, it's so great, the dignity of man, that it was pushed away, a negative prohibition in the Torah. Because it says in the Pasuk in Devarim Chav Beis, regarding a lost item of someone else, says, and you will turn away your eye from that item. As the Gemara darshans, there is a reference to an elderly person that's not according to his honor, his dignity, to go ahead and start returning lost items. So here also that we say that this item of moving the rocks on Shabbos, the Issa Mukta is only Issa Drabbanan. And the Rabbanan, they were toilet it on the lav of Lysasar, that the Rabbanan put all their Isurim on Lysasar, which is that we should not deviate from the words of our sages, which is the Lysa in the Torah, which includes all the rabbinic prohibitions, including Mukta. However, in place of Kavra Brias, in the dignity of man, like we find by the Halacha of returning a lost item, that it was Daicha. And the same thing applies. We're going to the bathroom, that yes, you can take it up to the roof, because since there's an element of Kavra Brias, the dignity of man, that he has to be able to wipe himself from his waist, that is Mutter, even taking it up to the roof. We're not concerned with the Issa Mukta, even if it's a great Tircha. Yes, Mirema b'kama lo l'hashmaitz. Mirema was sitting. He was sitting over this statement. So Ravina asked Mirema on this statement. He says, we learned Rabbi Eliezer Omer, noitel odem kisim mishlefanav. Rabbi Eliezer says a person is allowed to take a splinter that's from before him. In other words, if he finds just a small piece of wood that's lying on the ground, and we don't say that it's muktzah, and he could use a lachtzis b'shinav to go ahead and use to use as a toothpick for his teeth to take out the pieces of meat to use as floss. The Chacham Omer, no. He's only allowed to take from the crib, so to speak, of the animals, which is the place which is prepared, that's what they use it for, and it wasn't just lying around. So therefore you see that the Rabbanan kept their words that the Isurim of Mukta, even when there's the dignity of man, because sometimes you'll be able to see a person's meat that he ate from his teeth outside, and it's degrading for a person. There's an element of Kavod HaBrius that it should be able to floss, and still we said, although there's an element of Kavod HaBrius, when you find just a splinter, you cannot use it. That is mukta, unless you find some place that it's prepared already, that it's not mukta as the parts, that the pieces of wood that are in front of the animal. So therefore, how could you say that Kavod HaBrius is deicha leisa b'tayr? That's why even you could take the rocks up to the roof. When we see over here, the Rabban said you can't just take any splinter lying on the ground, and there would be an issa of mukta in spite of the fact that there's an element of Kavod HaBrius. So he answered him, hachi hashta, can you compare the two cases? Hasam adam kaveya mokam lesu. Their person designates a place where he's going to eat his meal. And therefore, he should have prepared his toothpick from yesterday. And therefore, the fact that he didn't, we don't allow now anymore, although there's Elmel HaKavod HaBrius, you could have prevented it. And you could have had your floss, your toothpick ready. Hacha Adam Kaveh Mokum Labesa Kisa, a person prepare a place for himself where he's going to go to the bathroom. In other words, sometimes a person just has to go, and he goes to some other place where he didn't have his regular bathroom. And therefore, in those days, he didn't have set lavatories there. They used the outdoors. And therefore, since there was no room to just go anywhere, and it wasn't, he couldn't have prepared. Therefore, you're allowed to take any rocks and use it, and that is the Kadal Kavod HaBrius. There we did allow you to go ahead and take the rocks. We weren't concerned about the Issa of Muktza for the element of Kavod HaBrius. Whereas regarding the floss, there you knew we were going to eat your meal, and therefore it's your fault, and therefore we did not allow you to be over the Issa Drabban of Muktza to go ahead and use it as a toothpick. So on this topic, the Gemara brings Amr of Huna. One is not allowed to relieve himself on a field that has already been plowed on Shabbos. In other words, the first plowing was done, now it's ready to go ahead and planting. That you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So it's my time, why can't you relieve yourself over there? Because of the treading, that is, you're going in your friend's field, and it was a, it's you're stepping all over it where it was plowed, and it's going to get hard now, and it's going to ruin it. It won't be fit for plowing it, for planting. So afil b'chol nami, even during the weekday, you shouldn't be able to go ahead and relieve yourself there. So why only a Shabbos are we saying this? Ve'elam shem asavim, rather it's because of the grass. That's because of the moisture of the plowing. There's different grasses that go up and they grow on these rocks. And when you wipe yourself with, and then you're going to relieve yourself over there by where it was plowed, now you're going to take from the area over there, you're going to take those rocks, and then the grasses that are attached to those rocks are going to get detached. But the question is, so you're saying that's why you can't go ahead and relieve yourself there on Shabbos. But Va'amar Rish Lakish, Tzroish Olubay Asavim, Rish Lakish already said that these rocks that have these grasses growing on them, Mutul Kanech, but you could wipe yourself with it. And the reason is because you're not miskaven, you're not intending to rip out the grasses that are growing from it. And that's Mutul, like we said, Allah is like Rib Shimon that says, Davash ain't miskaven, something that's not intended is Mutul. However, Rish Lakish said, yes, if you go ahead and rip it off from the rock on Shabbos intentionally, then you're going to be liable for Karban Chatas, because that's the place where the grass is growing, that although it's just a rock and it's not earth, but since now the grass, because of the moisture, is growing on that rock, yes, it's us to rip it off, but you're allowed to wipe yourself in it. So again, why can't you go ahead and relieve yourself by the place where it was plowed? Even if you take these rocks and the grass is going to fall off, that's mutter, because davish ein miskaven. So rather, the Gemara says, the reason why you can't relieve yourself on Shabbos in the place where the area was plowed, el dilma nokid mi'iloye v'shodi l'tatoy, because you might take from the different rocks or the earth over there, from the place that's on top, which is the place, the ridges of the forest on the top, and you're going to throw it down when you finish wiping yourself to the bottom, to the pit. And what you're going to be doing is you're going to be smoothing out the what was already plowed. And that's a toilada, that's a derivative of the malacha of chayrish, of plowing on Shabbos. As the Gemara says, mechayv, then you're going to be chayv, mishum de rabba, as the halacha of rabba. The rabbi had already said, hoisle gumo betamim. If someone has a pit and he fills it up, so depending where it is, it's going to be a different malacha of Shabbos. If it's bebayis in the house, he's chayv mishum bayin. He's chayv, he's liable for the issur of building, because on a bayis in the house, it applies a concept of building. And now you're smoothing out the floor, that's finishing up the house. Besada, if you go ahead and fill up a hole in the field, then you're chayv mishum charish, then you're liable for the issur of plowing. There, you're fixing, you're being masakin the harisha by filling up the holes. Therefore, that's why you can't go relieve yourself on Shabbos there in the pits by where it was plowed, because then you might take from the top and throw it to the bottom. You're going to be oivan the malacha of chayrish. So the Gufa, the Gemara quotes what we just mentioned before. Amr Shlokesh, Shlokesh said, Tzroish olubay asavim mutl kanechba. Around these rocks that we said after the plowing, they're moist and now there's grass is growing out of it, you're allowed to wipe yourself with it on Shabbos. However, Tzroish olubay asavim mutl kanechba. But if you intentionally rip out the grass from those rocks, on Shabbos you chayev chatz. So the Gemara makes an inference from this halacha. Amr Papi, Shmamin Amr Shlokesh, we learn from this halacha of Shlokesh that he said you're allowed to wipe yourself with these rocks. And we don't say that this rock, regarding the grass that grow from it, from the moisture of the ground that it's coming out. And that is, when you pick up the rock, we don't say that it's as if you're uprooting the grass, although it's connected to the rock, but since it's getting the moisture from the ground, as if you're uprooting it from its place of nurture, of where it's growing, which is from the ground, and that it is mutter to take it out on Shabbos, and not considered a problem of toilish on Shabbos. Again, the grasses are attached to the rock, but they're really connected with their nourishment from the ground. We don't say that by picking up the rock to wipe yourself, that it's as if you're detaching it from the ground. And therefore, high parpisa, regarding this, parpisa is a type of perforated flower pot that they would plant in it. And just interesting, as a side, Rashi brings from the Tshuvas HaGa'inim, from the responsa of the Ga'inim that came before the Rishonim, that he said that they used to make baskets out of kapis tamarim, out of the palm fronds, and they would fill it with earth and with fertilizer from an animal, and 22 or 15 days before Rosh Hashanah, they would make for each person in the family, they would make for the small girls and the boys in the house, they would plant in it a pul ha-mitzri, different types of a bean, or a type of kidneys, and they would call it purpisa. And that would grow very quickly. On an Erev Rosh Hashanah, each one would take their own little plant, and they would turn it around their head 7 times, and they would say, which most people will recognize, Zeh Chalifasi, Zeh Tumurasi, this should be in place of me, this should be the exchange of me and all my sins, and then they would throw it into the river. So Rashi is interesting that this parpisa was actually used in the history of the Jews and for their kaparis, which was used Erev Rosh Hashanah. So regarding this parpisa, this perforated flower pot, Shari L'Taltulei, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, and it's not considered as if you're ripping it out of the ground. That although it gains its, it gets nourishment from the ground, it's perforated, it has a hole, and it's getting from the ground, by picking it up from the ground, just like you see that Rav Shlokesh is not concerned about taking these rocks, that although the grass is getting the nourishment from the ground, that there's no problem at all. The same thing would apply to these perforated flower pots. Maskel Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana asked on this inference, wait a second, im amru letzarech, if we said for a necessity, that is, when did we say Rish Lakish says you're allowed to take out these rocks from the ground to wipe yourself? That's for kavod habris, for the dignity of mankind. Then we say we're not so concerned with the fact that you're detaching it from its nourishment. Did we say this even when it's shalaylatzach for no purpose at all? Here regarding the papisa, why should you be allowed to move it? Maybe there it's different. There's no kavod habris, and maybe there is an element of an isadra bonan that we only allow it for kavod habris, for going to the bathroom, but that we don't allow it just plain like that. So Amabai, Abai says something similar to this, that papisa regarding this perforated flower pot, once it came to our hand, in other words, once we started discussing it, so let's say a halacha regarding it. And that is, if it was lying on the ground, he says, then you went and picked up and you put on top of pegs, you'll be liable for tailish. And that is, as we just said before, that is because there is an element of an isser here that it could, because it gets its nourishment from the ground. And that is because now it can't get it anymore once it's on the pegs, it's too far away. That is the isser of toilet. So Rashi says, this that it says that you're chayv, you're liable, it's lav dafka. It doesn't really mean that you're liable. Rather, it means it's usr because it's similar to toilish because it's not really growing from the ground. That's why you're allowed to take it if you have to use to wipe yourself at the bathroom. But since it's similar to toilish, because, and that's why when there's no kavod habris element, it would be usr to take it apart. Rashi says, because if you actually be liable, then how could the Rabban say that for the necessity of going to the bathroom, we didn't allow Issa Karas or Skila because of wiping oneself to go to the bathroom? And similarly, we say in Masechet Sanhedrin, by someone that's Ba on a Kutis that has relations with a non-Jewish woman, he's Chayv because of Nash Gaz, which are all not Midah Dairai, so only Midah Rabbanon. So therefore, we said certain things we allow when they Sud Rabbanon. But for Sud Dairai, we didn't allow it. So therefore, Rashi says this. It says Yichai Bisham Tosh means that it's us because Tosh, because it's similar to ripping something that's attached, because now it's not going to get to the nourishment anymore. And the same thing in reverse. Hayimunach Gabi says if this perforated flower pot was on pegs, v'nich Gabi Kargi, then you put it down on the ground, then Yichai Bisham Neteya. Again, it doesn't really mean the Isadari Raisa. It means like Isadra Banan, that it's similar to like planting it, because now it's getting nourishment from the ground. Amr B'yechanam. Us l'kanech b'cheres b'shabbat. It's forbidden to wipe oneself with shards of pottery on Shabbos. So you ask, my time, what's the reason for this is? Ile mishum sakon, if you say because of the danger inherent, that because it's very sharp, these shards, and they shouldn't rip the muscles of the rectum in the rear, where those muscles are those that hold up the whole area over there. And if you're going to wipe yourself with these shards, it might go ahead and cut over there, and it's going to harm the person. Afil b'chol nami, even during the weekday, it should have been to wipe oneself with the shards of the pottery. So why are we saying just on Shabbos? Ve'el mishum kshav, and even can say because the problem of kishav, of witchcraft, which the Gemara later is going to show that by using shards of pottery, that person is susceptible, is vulnerable to different forms of witchcraft. So again, afil b'chol namila, even during the week, you should also not be allowed to wipe yourself with that. So therefore the Gemara says, ve'el mishum hasharas nimen. So the reason why on Shabbos it would be forbidden because these shards are very sharp, and the person might cut the hairs that's by the rectum, And therefore, that's Asr on Shabbos. But the Gemara says that also can't be. Davashay Miskavanu, it's something that's not intended. And we said, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that he says that something that's not intended is mutter. Like we say later on in the Gemara, as we pass in Halachas like Reb Shimon, that Davashay Miskavanu is mutter. So therefore, again, even if we'd be cutting off the hairs, it doesn't make a difference. It should still be mutter. So why can't you wipe with the shards of pottery on Shabbos? So Amalahu Rab Nasan Bar Oishya, Gavar Rabba Amimilsa. Someone great said this halacha. Name of Botam, we have to say an explanation. Why on Shabbos can't you use these shards of pottery on Shabbos? So he says, the way you have to interpret it is as follows. What he meant to say was that loy mebayi b'chol da'aser, that yes, definitely it's forbidden, even during the weekday, to wipe oneself with this cheres, with the shards of pottery. And that is that even on the weekday, where there's no isra of tiltal, of carrying, of troiris, of the little pebbles, that for sure we're going to say it's forbidden to wipe oneself with shards of pottery because you're susceptible to witchcraft. So there definitely we require you to wipe yourself with these pebbles because definitely during the weekday we could use pebbles because there's no Isra of Mukta on the weekday. So definitely Cheres is awesome. But I would have thought that on Shabbos where the Cheres at least has a status of a vessel on it. And that is, therefore there's no issur of mukta on the cheres. And that the reason is because even though it's a shard of cheres, you can use it for carrying, let's say, a piece of a flaming coal, or to use it to go ahead and get some water from a pitcher. Either way, it's fit to use for something. So they would consider it as a vessel. So then I would say that maybe it's better that you should use the kli cheres, although it's a broken shard, because it's better to wipe from it than wipe with a pebble, because the pebble has an issur of mukta on Shabbos. So maybe only during the weekday did we say you shouldn't use the cheres because it has this element that you're susceptible to witchcraft, because you have another option. You have the pebble. But on Shabbos, I would think, because since pebbles are also, they have a din of mukta, then you should use the broken shards of pottery. Kamash malon. That's what Rabbi Yechon was saying, that no. Either because there's an element of sakana, that's danger, because it might cut the muscles of the rectum, or because of that you're susceptible to witchcraft. That's why he said on Shabbos, you're right, it applies to the weekday. But I would have thought that on Shabbos it would be mutter, because then you don't have the option of the pebbles. He says, no. On Shabbos, you should also use pebbles because you shouldn't use the shards of pottery, because again, either because of the element of witchcraft or because of the danger of cutting the muscles by the rectum. So the Gemara says that was the interpretation of Rav Nosson bar Oisha. Rava Masna, Rava wanted to give the explanation of the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan, that the reason why you not use it on Shabbos is Mishum HaShoresnim, because you might come to rip the hears by the rectum. We asked him the same question we asked just before, that it seems then it's a contradiction in the opinions of Rabbi Yechanan. Did Rabbi Yechanan really say that you're not allowed to wipe yourself with the shards of pottery on Shabbos? So obviously you're saying, because since it might rip out the ears, that something that's not intended is Asr on Shabbos. But however, Rabbi Yechanan, Halacha Gistam Mishnah. Rabbi Yechanan always said, the Halacha is like a Mishnah that is unaccounted for who said it. The Halacha is like that Mishnah, but it doesn't say any names. If it's not, then we learned in the Mishnah, the Nazir, regarding a Nazir, someone that is not allowed to cut off any hair. We said, he's allowed to rub, and he's allowed to disentangle his hair. But he's not allowed to comb his hair with a comb, because that's definitely going to rip out some hair, and that's aser. And that is, even Reb Shimon agrees, regarding what's called psikrei shebel yomis. If you're going to chop up the head of a chicken and not going to die, of course, something that's inevitable, even though you're not intending, even Reb Shimon agrees that's aser. However, we see regarding rubbing and disentangling, that there sometimes it will get ripped out, sometimes not. That's considered as not inevitable, and that's something that's not miskaven, that's not intended, that's mutter, and that's stam mishnah, and that's like Reb Shimon. And if Reb Yechon holds the halacha is that if it's not intended, when you're rubbing and disentangling, that it is mutter, even if hair will come out. So how could he say, you now wipe yourself with the shards of pottery on Shabbos, because it might come to rip the hairs, but it's not inevitable, and it's not intended, so it should be mutter. So the Gemara says, El Machvar Tekad Rav Nosson Bar Oisha, you're right, it's as we said before, the opinion of Rav is incorrect. It's like Rav Nosson Bar Oisha said that really it's not just on Shabbos, it's on the weekday and on Shabbos. And the reason is either because of witchcraft or because of the danger to the muscles of the rectum. And the reason why I said regarding Shabbos is just to say, because I would have thought that on Shabbos it's better to use it and not use something that's mukta. And then we said, no, better use the thing that's generally mukta because of the dangers inherent. So now the Gemara goes back to explain one of the opinions we said for the Isra of using cheres, of using shards of pottery, is because of witchcraft. So Gemara's Mike Shav, what's this element of witchcraft that's related to using shards of pottery to wipe yourself? So the Gemara brings a story to show this. Ki hadu Rav Chisda v'Rabbi Barav Huna, with these two Amayrom, have a ka'azli barba, they were traveling on a boat. Amalahu ha'imatrinisa, there was this noble woman, this was this Gentile noble woman, she said to them, Oisvin Bahadaihi, let me sit amongst you. But they didn't let her sit with them. Amr Ihi Musa, so she said something, she said this chant of witchcraft. Astrasala Arba, she immobilized the boat, then now the boat couldn't move from its place. Amr Inhu Milsa, so then these two Amrun, they said something through a shame of Tahara, through a theme of Kabbalah. Shayu, and they mobilized the boat that it started moving again. So Amalahu, she said to them, my Avalahu, what am I going to do with you? My powers are nothing of witchcraft to you. And we continue on to the top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Deloy mekanech lechu b'chas, because you don't wipe yourselves with shards of pottery that I should be able to do witchcraft on you. And this is the element that we see that it has some type of a vulnerability to witchcraft if you wipe yourself with shards of pottery. And also, deloy kotu lechu kina menaychu, you don't kill the lice when it's on your garment when you're wearing it. And you don't rip out the vegetable and eat it, from the bundle that was tied by the gardener. and that is you don't go ahead and take out the garlic or the onions from when it's wrapped in the bundle from that the gardener had made and eat it. Rather, first you untie the bundle and then you go ahead and eat it. So what you see from this story is that all these different things make a person susceptible and vulnerable to witchcraft. And that's why she said that you don't do all these different things that have no power over you. And that's the idea that we see, that by wiping oneself with a shard of pottery makes oneself vulnerable to witchcraft. And that's why it's better not to wipe oneself with the cheres at any point in time, not only on Shabbos, but even on weekdays.